Thanks for joining me. It's a delight to be back here with you today. Hey, I want to pray for my wife just texted me. I was sharing with you my son and my daughter-in-law are fostering a little baby, and she was watching him, and the baby bumped its head. She's all panicked and freaked out over it, and so my son's taking him to the hospital. But I'm like, you raised 5 kids in like 6 years. She's acting like it's her first child. It's so funny. I'm sure the baby will be fine, but I want to pray just in case. All right, we'll lift up the baby. I do want to also address one other issue here. You talk about answered prayer. Maggie and I were talking about this right before the broadcast. The Damar Hamlin, right? His story. The updates now are incredibly positive. He's the Buffalo Bills safety who suffered cardiac arrest during Monday night's football game, and it captivated the world. I mean, it absolutely captivated the entire world. And Maggie, you and I were just talking a little bit about, I said, you know, God had to hear the prayers of all these people. That when you think, it's not just us praying the chaplet every day for him, and there's a power in that. If two people pray, if one person prays, it has an impact. But as I said, when you saw men weeping and on their knees, begging God for mercy on their colleague, when you saw this spark set ablaze that took over the country, and people all over paying, you know, vigil, his GoFundMe page is now over $7 million. He wanted to raise $2,500 for toys for kids in his community. So people showed their love and compassion with their donations. But I know that families and churches and institutions all over the country and probably the world were praying for this young man. And I know, Maggie, you made the same observation a little bit earlier.
Well, yeah, I was just saying what a legacy that one person's faith ignited so many others' faith in such a beautiful example of what to do in hard times. You know, we've seen things explode like they did when George Floyd passed away. And here you're seeing the exact opposite. You're seeing the way people will humble themselves and say, God, this is tragic. Please help us. We put our lives in your hands. We put our faith at your feet. Yep. And what a beautiful thing that he's woken up.
It goes back to what we talked about too. You know, I mean, this is a tragedy. A man almost died on that field. His mother was there. And you think, how could good ever come from this, right? I mean, it's a horrible accident. This man's life could potentially be over. His career could certainly be over. And yet a man who, you know, at some point there was no news for a couple of days, and that did not portend well. But prayer, I think, was very, very powerful in this. And doctors are now reporting good news. And I think that's the result of it. God brought good out of this. And you saw how many people turned to God. And I never saw, as I said a few days ago, so many people talking about the power of prayer, whether it's athletes, whether it's celebrities, whether it's the social media platforms that are out there, whether it was broadcasters. I think it was just phenomenal. I mean, God is at work in powerful ways. Hey, I'm praying today with my colleague, Preston. He hails from our accounting department. Preston, good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Thanks for having me. This is wonderful to be back.
Anything you want to pray for today as we kick it off? Anything you want to share?
I'll just continue to pray for my family, my kids, their future vocations, and that's what's really important in my heart right now.
I think every parent should pray that prayer. You know, I pray for the future spouses and vocations of my children. It's one of the mantras of my prayer. I mean, yeah. God's got a mission and a career path for all of them, I'm sure. It's not always ours. Sometimes parents want their kids to, like, I had visions for certain of my children, you know, they took different paths, but it's just like, you know, okay, God knows better than I do.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll pray for your children today as well, and we'll pray for those who mourn. Just to share one quick email here that came in. This person says, Drew, I know it's taken a little while for me to send you this to you, but it's an answered prayer. It's also a prayer of thanksgiving to you and all of those who pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet with you every day. Thank you, everyone. About a couple of months ago, I called to ask the Divine Mercy prayer warriors there to pray for my brother who was in the hospital with the flu and heart issues. In one day, he went from being fully functional to being on a ventilator and medically induced into a coma. The cardiologist at the hospital said it was incredibly serious, and he was unbelievably ill, so much that they said, you really should call in a priest to give him last rites. Did not look good. The medical team had 3 machines hooked up to him and for a week cautiously treated him. One day to the next, he progressed in small steps until he came out of everything. He was released into rehab and was able to return home. I said to the doctors and the medical staff and all who were praying for my brother, I told them, I said, you know what? This is a miracle. Along with the God-given gifts of the medical staff, I believe the Divine Mercy Chaplet and all who prayed for my brother enabled him to be given a second chance in life. And our family is ever so grateful. I ask for prayers with all of his heart issues, but I pray in gratitude to all of you. Thank you. Carmen in Austin, Texas. And you know what I like about her email? You know, God's time is not ours, as we've been talking about today. But also, God can work instantly. He can come out of that coma and it's over. Or he can allow the gift of our technology and our medicine, coupled with our prayer, to bring about recovery. And sometimes recovery is slow. The lesson today really is be patient on the Lord. You know, God's time is not yours. God's got a plan and a perfect moment for you. So let's pray that he reveals that to you and that he answers those critical prayers that you have deep in your heart. We begin today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour and the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Let's take our first call today. It comes from Madeline. She's praying in New York, New York. Hi, Madeline. Good afternoon.
Hi. Hi. I was just wondering if I could have the prayer warriors pray for everyone doing catechism in a year. I'm
sure.
Doing it.
Well, that's a great.
I'm taking on the challenge. So I definitely pray for Father Mike and everyone doing the catechism in a year.
Well, I love it. What a great prayer, Madeline. Let's pray right now for you, especially that the Holy Spirit will illuminate your mind and imprint the teachings and truth of our faith on your heart. And it's such a beautiful thing. I often said, and I really believe this, there's two books that if I had to take with me anywhere, you know, if I was doing life in prison, right? Or if I had to be in a hospital room for a long time, two books in your spiritual library, the Bible and the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Any question you have regarding the faith, you're going to find it in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. I'm telling you, whether it's, you know, sexual ethics, whether it's social justice, whether it's just war, whether it's immigration, really is wonderful. And I'm so delighted that Father Mike is going to be doing that. I know he's done a podcast on the Bible. Now he's doing the catechism. But you ought to go ahead and, if you don't have the catechism, read through it. Okay, it's a great book. But Lord, I just ask that you illuminate our minds. Allow us to know your divine truth. Let us to see these events of our life and the world through the eyes of our faith and through your teachings. May they govern, guard, guide, and lead us. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Teresa's praying with us in Illinois. Hi, Teresa. Good afternoon.
Hi. Last summer, I applied and got a second half-time teaching position that involves a lot of administration. Mm-hmm. And so I started it because I already had 4 years of experience and I, you know, knew what I was doing. And it's been just awful. It's been really bad. You know, I've experienced harassment this last fall, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And I really, even for my health, I really think I need to get out of there. And yeah, that's it. Right. So I'm praying for light and for guidance. I was praying yesterday's feast day, yeah, and today's feast day for St. John Neumann to help me. And it's a public school.
Yeah.
They're public, two different schools.
Well, let me give you just a little bit of advice that I applied to my own situation when I was, Teresa, in a similar situation. When God was shutting everything down in my life, I turned to three people, to Our Lady. I did a novena to her. I think it was a 54-day rosary novena. St. Joseph did a 30-day novena to him. We did this all at the same time. And I turned to the Infant of Prague, right? The Christ child, who's known for his providence and for, you know, working these type of financial miracles. And today begins, I think today begins. Today, the Feast of the Infant of Prague. I saw somebody say that to me. I'll check that out. But why not pray to the Infant of Prague? I'm going to look to see if today on the Epiphany or tomorrow on the Feast of the Epiphany might be a good day to start that. And pray for that new job. And right now, I want to pray for anybody who is unemployed, anybody who is underemployed, anybody who is in a bad situation right now and work, and anybody who just needs God's providence in their life, those who are drowning in death. In January 14th, Maggie, you're saying, is the Infant of Prague? 14th?
Observed on January 14th.
So if you back up 9 days, is today the start for the Prague? I think today's the start of the Infant of Prague novena. So you can check it out. But hey, it's a great novena to pray. So let's do that. We'll put all these financial needs that so many people have, so many employment needs, in the hands of the Lord and in the Christ child. And we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Okay. Before we go to our next call, Mike's in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Let me go to Maggie. Maggie, I know you're monitoring our Twitter page. And if you don't get through on the phone lines, I know they fill up pretty quickly. You can always go to Twitter @DrewMariani Show. Send us your petitions, Maggie. We'll bring them to air. We, of course, want to pray for you. You can always follow me @DrewMariani as well. Maggie, what's coming in?
Drew, I got a text earlier from a friend of mine. She said, my sister Rose was in a car accident on Tuesday. She had a bad injury to one of her vertebrae. But as of today, it's no longer a critical situation, thanks be to God. But she is waiting for surgery, hopefully today. Please, Lord, guide this operation and bring her to full healing and recovery. So I want to lift up Bernadette's whole family and her sister, Rose. Steve from Minnesota is asking for healing for his heart. He has an irregular heartbeat. Marie from New York is praying for her husband, Salvatore. He needs a valve replacement. If it doesn't work, he has less than a year to live, is what the doctors are saying. Many issues come from this, including kidney diabetes, depression, and apparently he's had an amputation because of this. She'd also like to lift up Marie with stomach issues, CJ, that he finds favor with his boss. Dito must have heard us talk earlier because I got this message right after we were talking about praying for relationships and God's timing. Dito wrote to us and said, please pray for my daughter, Megan, who recently went through a bad breakup. She has a history of making bad choices, needs some self-confidence, and to move on towards positive things in life. He says, please bring her back to Jesus. And Charlene wrote to us. She said, please pray for my niece, Alicia, my godchild, who is 36 and has two little girls. She's considering becoming Catholic.
Oh, wow.
Please pray for her conversion and for guidance. And Drew, just personally, we've got these TVs, these monitors in the studio, and I want to pray for whatever is going on in our legislation right now. It seems like kind of a mess.
Yeah, Speaker McCarthy, or I should say McCarthy, appears to lose a ninth vote for the Speaker of the House position. Let's pray for our country. It's a good prayer, Maggie, that God will protect us from degeneration, disaster, from war, from disease, and that he'll give us good men and women who will govern according to God's moral law. Right, to that natural law that he imprints on all of our hearts. Let's pray for all these intentions. My heart goes out to those parents, for their daughter who's, for all those with low self-esteem, those who are making those bad decisions. God can heal. God can correct. God can right. God can bring a greater good out of all of it. And that's what I believe today. And we want to pray for you. I'll add Mike to this third decade as well. He's in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for your ministry. It's such a blessing.
Thank you.
And I ask the listeners to pray for our mother who is in hospice. Ooh. She's been 3 weeks without any food, and her joy in all of her life is just to meet Jesus and see the face of Jesus. Wow. So I want to pray for her and pray for all those who are suffering from loved ones.
Well, we're glad to pray for your mother. What's her name, by the way, Mike?
Rita.
Rita, okay, I'll jot her down here, and our entire spiritual family here who pray the chaplet every day, I'm sure I'll be praying for her in the days ahead, the hours ahead. And I want to pray for your family, too. It's a difficult thing. I lost both my mother and my father, and it's difficult to lose a mother. I'll tell you what, there's something about the loss of a mother, but I know you're a man of faith, and you know your mother certainly was, and she looks forward to being with the Lord. And I stand on the promise of St. Faustina. She writes in her diary, she says, you know, the Lord told her, at the hour of death, I'll defend as my own glory. Every soul that prays the chaplet, or when others say it for the dying person, the pardon's going to be the same. And the Lord's going to come as a merciful Savior for your mother. And Lord, I just thank you right now. I ask you to bring Rita into your merciful embrace and allow her to see paradise and to be with you. And I pray for Mike and all those who are left behind, that one day we may all be perfectly united in your love. You know, we often quote that, you know, 105 souls die every minute. I had a listener correct me. They actually said, believe it or not, according to the February 2022 World Death Clock, the number's now 107 souls die every minute. That's about that's a lot of souls. So we lift up all those who God is calling home right now in this moment, in the moments ahead, and for the hour of our own death. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Jim is praying in Wisconsin. Hey, Jim, good afternoon.
Hey, for this vote for the Speaker of the House and protection of our Supreme Court justices, with pearl and wisdom and strength. Thank you.
Hey, great prayers. Jim, thank you. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that prayer. And I think as citizens of this country, our founding father said that only this great experiment, this democratic republic of ours, would only be successful if it was based on a virtuous people. We need to pray that virtue flourishes in the hearts of all of our fellow citizens, and especially in those who have been given the noble charge of governing. And Lord, I just pray for our country and for our leaders and for protection over those who are in jeopardy, who hold office, like our Supreme Court, and for those with nefarious purposes, Lord. Pray for their conversion and you thwart their efforts. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we need a miracle for our next call. This one comes out of Waukesha, Wisconsin. Therese, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. And I would like all your prayer warriors to pray for my niece. Her name is Mary Kate and her husband, John. She went to the doctor today for a check. She was 13 weeks pregnant. They said they did not hear a heartbeat and they're going to have to schedule her for a D&C. This came very unexpectedly. There were no problems. They say the baby's measuring at 10 weeks, and I'm asking God for a miracle that maybe that heartbeat will be found, and maybe, you know, they will be able to have this child. Thank you.
Yeah, my condolences. My heart goes out to you. But, Teresa, I love your attitude. I think we need to pray. We saw Christ raise Lazarus from the dead, right? The widow's son, and so many different stories of how he can raise. You know, there's a couple of great stories. Blessed Paczynski, St. Paczynski, the founder of the Marians, who are the great champions in making sure divine mercy got spread. He was canonized because a child was raised from the dead in the womb. Bishop Fulton Sheen's beatification is going forward because of a resurrection story. We hear stories like this with St. Philomena and so many more. Let's put our trust in God. Lord, I pray for a miracle. That's what this hour is all about. That's what this time of prayer is all about. These are the promises that you have given to us in the chapel, that no matter what we ask of you, by virtue of your passion, it will be granted if it's according to your will. And we pray that this be your will. We pray for your mercy, and we pray this may testify and give praise to your glory, to your mercy. And I pray for everyone who's united with me now. So many people on hold who are really struggling, Lord. I give you Cynthia and Linda and Antoinette and Patrick and Stephen and Lori and Virginia and Julie and Brendan and Debbie and so many others. So many who are writing to us, so many praying with us around the world. We just give you our hearts. I thank you, Father, for the way you are going to work. I thank you for those answered prayers that are in the offing, those spouses that are looming in the wing, those cancer cures that are coming, Lord, those financial blessings that we do not see. We just trust in you as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence, submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine.
Pray for us.
Saint Philomena.
Pray for us.
Bishop Sheen.
Pray for us.
Saint Paczynski.
Pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine.
Pray for us.
Oh, you patron saints of impossible cases, Rita, Charbel, Philomena, pray for us. St. Patrick.
Pray for us.
And all you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, I'll leave you with one final thought. There's a great prayer. I call it my daughter's prayer. She found it in the diary, and it's called the Surrender Prayer, or Surrender to God's Will. It was actually written by St. Faustina. And if you feel overwhelmed, if you're praying, you don't see that miracle in the offing, and you just can't give in, try this prayer. This is a simple three-sentence prayer, and this is how it goes. I want to pray for you right now. So whatever that situation is, if you're having trouble letting go, surrendering to God's will because it's not your will, it's not the way you want it, let's ask St. Faustina to intercede. She writes and prays, "O God, whose mercy is incomprehensible to every intellect, whether human or angelic, bless me, your feeble child, to do your holy will as you make it known to me, for I desire nothing more than to fulfill your desires. Lord, here is my mind and my body, my will and my soul, my heart and all my love. Direct me according to your eternal plan. Amen." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All the great saints came to learn this truth. You know, it's first and foremost, surrender to God and to his holy will. That's our first step. And then you have to walk in faith and trust, knowing that God will work it out. He'll bring a good out of your situation. Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for the good for those who are called according to his purpose, right, to his plan. And you are. God's got a plan and a mission for you. So let's today pray for one another. And please let me know as God answers those prayers, because I know they're coming. You can write to me, drew@relevantradio.com. In the byline, the memo field, just say answered prayer or praise report, or however you want to indicate it to me, but tell me how God answered that prayer, how that miracle unfolded, okay? I'm always grateful to read those. I'm going to take a short break. When we come back, one thing we forgot to pray for is this huge storm that is barreling down right now in California. You know, they're talking about these once-in-a-lifetime storms. We saw one in Buffalo. They're saying something similar is happening right now on the West Coast, these atmospheric rivers of precipitation that are coming. What are we seeing? We're going to be joined by a very respected meteorologist when I return. We'll take a look at that and more.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More info, including disclosures at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus. All right. Hey, coming up in just a quick second here, I'm going to be joined by Chuck Gatica, a very gifted meteorologist. He shared his convergence story with us in the past. Some huge weather events taking place. I want you to be in the know. But first, let me go to Linda in California. They're in the crosshairs of these looming storms. Linda, good to have you on the air. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hey, what's going on?
I'm just listening to the reports and watching TV of what's coming. It was very scary last night, the wind blowing and rain all over the place. And now I'm seeing that warnings for the mountains. And it's just, this storm is just terrifying. I've never experienced anything like this before.
Yeah, I mean, California, whether it's fires or drought or now these torrential rains and mudslides, earthquakes, it's a difficult place to live. Linda, I'll tell you what, we'll pray for you and for your safety and for all the citizens of California. In fact, stay tuned and take a listen to Chuck Gatica. He's going to be with me in a minute. We're going to take a look at what's coming your way, okay? Thank you for calling. I'm glad you chimed in. And look, we're all one family here, right? Whether you're listening to me in New York City or in Los Angeles, whether you're in, you know, San Francisco or Philadelphia, it doesn't matter. Whether you're north or south in Dallas and Houston or the Twin Cities, we all are citizens of this great country, and let's remember to pray for those outside of our own small frame of reference, right? Our own world. A lot of suffering going on in this country right now. Two people died from the storm last, the latest storm hit California. In fact, tens of thousands in part of the state are without power, and floodwaters have risen. Piers have been smashed. I don't know if you saw any of this video. It's pretty unbelievable stuff. I mean, roads literally washed away. The trees are down. I heard one story about I think it was a redwood that fell on a house and killed some of the people in it. Gas station canopies have toppled, right? Levees are now being breached, and mudslides, they're terrifying. They've happened in fire-scarred areas. So a lot of concerns right now. There's concerns about the dams all throughout the area. At least, you know, one was declared safe a little bit earlier today after the floodwaters stopped rising. But this is the second storm to hit the Golden State in, I think it's the space of 2 weeks. Both of them were fueled by this strong jet stream that brought just a ton of moisture from the Pacific Ocean. And the storms have been alternately called bomb cyclones. It's a meteorological term that we spoke to Chuck Gatica about last time. And he'll break it down for you again. Well, you're hearing terms too. These are new terms for me, like atmospheric rivers, right? The Pineapple Express. Unfortunately for the people of the area, those storms are not over. So say a prayer. You know, I'm a big devotee of divine mercy. I wrote about it in my book about protection that often comes when you trust yourself to divine mercy. The image of divine mercy, you know, try to have one in your home as well. It's great, great stories of just some unbelievable protection. But the Weather Channel right now is predicting more storms to come over the weekend and into early next week. So that's the West Coast. Minnesota, the southern part of that state's been hit with a couple of snowstorms over the weekends, left now about 47 inches of snow, 21 more than normal for that time of season. You know what happened in Buffalo, right? So it's nothing compared to the people in New York, but weather's bizarre. I don't know how to read it, right? You know, New York State, they got, 6 feet of snow? That storm killed 31 people? It's crazy. Chuck Gatica, he joins me today. He spent years as a Protestant minister, converted to the Catholic Church, and has been a weather forecaster, a show host for WDIV in Detroit. And it's a delight to have him back with us today for some perspective. Chuck, thanks for your time and for your expertise. Good to talk with you again.
Oh, Drew, Happy New Year. Thanks for having me.
Happy New Year to you. We're coming to Detroit soon, so looking forward to being in your home state.
Yeah, that'll be great.
It's going to be fun. Let's start with California. I would love to get your take on this. I mean, I'm hearing these terms. You and I spoke about bomb cyclone last time. And, you know, some of these terms. Maybe let's start there. Let's talk about some of these terms. We've got the Pineapple Express, the atmospheric rivers. You got bomb cyclones. Break some of that down for us, because I know the people who are in the crosshairs of this stuff are hearing these terms, too, perhaps for the first time.
Well, I don't know if you remember in your lifetime, Pineapple Express has always been, for years, something that would come up from time to time, and that is basically an atmospheric river. So what that is a fast-moving river of air that picks up a ton of tropical moisture. And the reason, Drew, it gets this name Pineapple Express is because typically it kind of originates near Hawaii out in the Pacific. It then moves the air toward the Pacific coastline. California is a pretty big state. It normally gets a lot of trouble, and that's where we are. So Pineapple Express and atmospheric river are kind of one and the same. And if you can picture all this moisture is inbound with wind, okay, so it's also fast-moving wind, which we heard, was it Linda at the top of, you know, the beginning of our segment talking about that. Trees are toppling because the ground is getting unstable. Maybe it's already unstable from previous rain. Maybe it's fire scarred, as you mentioned, and now you've got more rain that makes things unstable. Now you've got wind that's taken down gas station roofs and trees, and it's kind of like you and I have a weekend project, and we take our hammer and we're trying to pull nails out of a 2x4. Well, you got that leverage of the wind, and it doesn't take much to pull a big nail out of a piece of wood if you've got the right size lever, and that's what the wind is doing. It's levering these trees and roofs and whatever else, maybe power poles, down.
Yeah, you know, California's weather is bizarre. I mean, some parts of the Golden State don't have what a lot of people consider, you know, the four normal seasons. They have the rainy season and the dry season. They're in the rainy season right now. But I'm curious because I don't know whether this is abnormal or it's normal or it's just a cycle. How unusual is the amount of rain that they're now experiencing? Because I know that state also, along with Colorado River, like me and a lot of other places, they've been parched for rain. I mean, they're dealing with a drought.
Well, I've seen, not including today, to be fair, I've seen 6-7 inch amounts of rain literally observed, you know, in somebody's rain gauge. So that's in 72 hours. Think of where you live, where I live. If you got 2 to 3 inches of water a day, you'd start to see flooding like they are. I think a large part of California is now out of what would have been called extreme drought. So while they still have drought, this is helping. But it's always seems to be feast or famine, right? That either they're in the drought. And I looked it up before we got on the air. I think the number I saw was 30-35% of the rain and the moisture that comes to California Wow. is typically because of these atmospheric rivers. This is not a new invention. Mm-hmm. It's just this one is a very dramatic invention right now with 30-foot waves off of San Fran and this heavy rain and the wind. And I'm looking at the forecast right now into the weekend. They've still got waves of showers and thunderstorms in Northern California with Wow. even Saturday showing Saturday night into Sunday, another 2 inches of rain maybe. And that's Saturday, not including tomorrow. Wow. You know.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So has the jet stream just picked up strength? I don't know. What's fueling that, and is it normal? Are we seeing extremes in weather right now?
Well, that is a phrase you and I talked about that last time. Could anything close to climate change, whether you know you can have your political positions or your scientific positions, if it's actually happening, the phrase that I've heard before bantied around is extreme extremes, that we could see, you know, severe weather outbreaks more extreme. Could the snow? I think what we're seeing a good old-fashioned winter for some. And this Pineapple Express, I didn't have a chance to research it, but I know we've had occasions where these things happen. And, you know, I just want to caution everybody, when you're in the midst of it'll come out. It's going to happen. And it will be beneficial in some ways. It's just that right now, this is not the kind of thing you want to be venturing out in if you don't have to, for some, not everybody.
For sure. Yeah. You got the West Coast with this mega weather. You have the East Coast. I heard one meteorologist on some national platform a couple of days ago. They talked about, you know, the storm of the century or storm of a lifetime, I think is what she used for the snowfall in Buffalo. Now they're saying the same thing about what we're seeing on the West Coast, and then in the middle of the country. You got the Twin Cities. They've gotten 2/3 the amount of snow that they get normally in a whole winter. And there's at least 3 more months of it left. I mean, it'll snow in Minnesota probably through March. So it seems that almost every part of the country is now being affected by this. Is that the case?
Individual systems. And where you may live, where I am in Southeast Michigan right now, it's raining. We've had maybe 8 inches of snow since, you know, what you typically call the beginning of the season. And Detroit normally gets maybe 44 inches of snow for the season. Well, we're getting a lot of it as rain. So we're not seeing, we got clobbered, you know, a week or 10 days ago with that frigid Arctic air. But we're not seeing, you know, a foot of snow at a time, or certainly nothing like Buffalo. The places that I think we're seeing those stories in the Midwest and shifting east in the cold air, it's a lake effect thing. And because we started out with a mild end of fall and even beginning of winter, kind of, until that real cold air came in, the lakes are wide open. I mean, they are just wide open, man. So when you bring that wind across there, it can pick up, it creates its own little atmospheric river, if you will, you know, and just brings in the moisture.
You know what I'm curious about, too? I've talked about, and I've been following it for months now, the mega drought that is impacting the West Coast. It's affecting agriculture. There's, you know, riverbeds drying up. Like Mead is, you know, such a low level right now. The Colorado River, all these different areas are really being battered by it. Now we see these torrential rains. Does it make any difference at all? Will it help mitigate it all? Will give some drought relief or not really, because the ground is so dry and so hard, this stuff just washes away?
Well, the dry and hardness of the ground, as you know, is going to be a complication for flood potential, because with all of our yards, until you get the ground wet, it just kind of sheds it like, you know, rain on a duck's back. It just flows fast, and that's what causes some of the flooding. But I think we are seeing some mitigation of the drought. And then if you can picture this atmospheric river bringing in all this moisture off the Pacific, and it rises on the west side of the mountain ranges, and then it's like God's got the sponge and squeezes it out in the form of snow. So they're actually going to see significant snowpack out of this as well. All of that in the spring is helpful for drought. So I don't want to call it a silver lining if you're like Linda or anybody else there and you're in under the gun. It's a bad deal. But I think there will be some mitigation of flooding with all of this rain. It's just that it's moving awfully fast.
Yeah, you know, I used to have a meteorologist on, and occasionally I do, from Indiana, and he's retired from broadcasting. He's now a commodity trader, and I thought, what a perfect profession to get into, because you certainly can you certainly know weather, how it's going to affect everything. I have a producer who was saying to me, he says, I love cauliflower. He says, and I buy it all the time. He says, I really can't find it anymore. When I go to stores, it's either really small or it's tiny or it's not around or the price is ridiculous. How is this weather affecting, you know, the productivity of food in our country now? Are you seeing anything along those lines? And do you keep your eye on commodities and how these weather patterns are impacting things?
I know some people who have really done that, and they're usually playing things like we would think about corn and oats and, you know, that kind of stuff. But when you think of this drought, if you back up a minute before this current system has come in, this Pineapple Express, what's been taking a large part of the water out of the Colorado? It's for farming. You don't think about it. I use almond milk. It's just my thing, right? I converted a while back, and I'm not a crazy anybody. I just happen to use it. Well, the amount of water used to grow almonds is crazy. The amount, you got avocados, you got a lot of stuff coming out of California, tomatoes. And so this farm-rich area requires a ton of water. And I think they kind of set themselves up for these fights that are occurring across state lines and in other places. So I think the people who could focus on that, and anybody who gets weather patterns and wants to not only try to predict a market, but also predict the weather, because those are... you would think they're always connected, not always. That's a pretty brave guy, so I hope he's done well.
I hope so, too. Hey, on a separate note outside of weather, how are you doing with your conversion now back to the Catholic faith? You loving it, and you know, how are things going for you in that area?
Oh, I appreciate you asking about that. So it's been great. My wife and I, as I mentioned, we're kind of on separate journeys right now, although you know, she's not partaking in the Eucharist. So we have been attending a local parish here, and we've loved it. Called Holy Family, and I'm kind of waiting for God to tell me what he wants me to do now. And, you know, being a type A guy, God doesn't always act as quickly as I'd like him to, but I got the best advice, and I want to pass this on to anybody listening in this new year with resolutions and, you know, God, what do you want me to do when I grow up kind of questions, regardless of your age. This parish priest who I've come to know and admire said to me, I just want you to be Brother Chuck for a while. Just be. Don't worry about doing. Just be. And I thought, wow, it just seems so simple. But for a guy like me who, you know, I just kind of pray like, God, put me in, coach. Yeah. What do you want me to do? So far, you know, being Drew Mariani's, well, now I have competition with this guy from Indiana. But I'm just saying, you know, just to be with you is a joy. So if that's what God wants me to do and be a good dad and husband and grandfather, I'm happy being those guys, you know.
Chuck, I got to give you a call because we've got to talk. I mean, I've been there before. I mean, God shut down one vocation for me only to open another. And I know you've got a lot to offer, that's for sure. But, you know, wait on the Lord, because I guarantee you, you know, your story's not done being written right now. He's got a lot for you still to do. So, but it was great advice. Live in the present moment, right? And we'll see what God has in store. Christmas, what a beautiful time to be in the church, too. One of my favorite seasons.
Yeah.
Hey, well, we'll catch up soon. I will give you a ring, okay? If not, call me, okay? And we'll get a chance to talk, okay?
All right. Well, take good care. And Happy New Year again. God bless.
God bless you. And Happy New Year to you, too. That's Chuck Gatica. I've got to take a short break. When we come back, I was haunted by one of the phone calls we got a little bit earlier today, one of the emails. I want to share with you something I stumbled across not too long ago. It was some advice St. Thomas Aquinas gave. He gave five remedies for sadness. If you're down, you're out, you're struggling, I think this advice might help. Simple stuff, kind of surprising too from such a brilliant mind and great theologian. That is straight ahead.
This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How are you aligning your financial plan with your Catholic values? Is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More information, including disclosures, at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
His power is made perfect in our weakness. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, hey, thanks for hanging out with me. I really do enjoy just taking a look at life with you every day. I love talking to experts like Chuck Gatica and so many others. If you missed any of the program, You might be a fan of podcasts. Check out our podcast, right? We've got great stuff that we have backed up now for you. That's incredible conversations, everything from politics to the occult. You name it, you do a deep dive into the Drew Mariani Show podcast. I think you're going to find something that is fantastic. Yesterday, we had a great conversation on COVID and the new variant that's out, XBB.1.5, and what it means, and so much more. And, of course, you can pray with me every day. Tell others about the show. It's a great way to evangelize. It's a great way to change somebody else's life, okay? Pray for me. Pray for the show. Pray for the network. But tell others about us as well, all right? And if you're new to us, welcome, Tucson, Arizona. Maybe you stumbled on my show today for the first time, 104.9 FM. Good to have you with us. Great, great being in Arizona. So such a delight. And Relevant Radio, thanks to your generosity and your prayers, God's continuing to bless us in an effort to reach more souls. So there's going to be more and more people coming into the family. And that only makes us stronger, only makes the country better. Because I really believe with the message of Jesus Christ and the beauty of how Relevant Radio is able to teach the faith and present it, lives are changed, and they're changed for the better. And the country, as a result, is changed for the better. And you made that possible. So thank you. You might be going through a tough time today, right? I shared an email from a mother whose prayer was not answered the way she wanted and was a little bit disappointed. We prayed the chaplain. You hear some heartbreaking testimonies there. You know, one of the great theologians of the church, one of the great doctors, one of the great minds, once wrote about five remedies against sadness. And maybe you're sad right now. Maybe life isn't going the way you want, right? And look, nobody's immune from this. Certain days we all have been sad, right? Maybe your heart's been broken. Maybe you're going through just a tough time at work or a sickness. There's been days maybe when you've been able to, you know, overcome depression. There's something that's weighing you down, just makes you difficult to interact with others. There is a trick, though, for overcoming sorrow. And St. Thomas Aquinas suggested five remedies against sadness, and they prove surprisingly effective. The first one, here's point number one. First remedy is granting yourself something you like. Huh? Why not, right? It's as though this very famous theologian had already perhaps intuited, if you will, seven centuries ago that chocolate is an antidepressant. Yes, he says, a little bit of chocolate, you know, or even a beer. But Padre Pio, the great stigmatist, right, the great stigmatic, the man who had the wounds of Christ, was, you know, he bilocated, levitated, he'd drink a beer a day. St. Thomas Aquinas, the famous theologian, he said chocolate, I know it sounds materialistic, but who could deny that after a tough day, piece of chocolate or a good beer to remedy your day? One of the Psalms even says that wine gladdens the human heart, right? Although the Bible also makes it very clear that you shouldn't get drunk. So therein lies the balance, right? The second remedy, he says, and this was surprising to me, is weeping, right? Maybe a good cry is what he's saying. I'll put it in modern terms. A good cry. St. Thomas says, a hurtful, and I'm going to quote him here out of the Summa. He says, a hurtful thing hurts yet more if we keep it shut up, because the soul is more intent on it. Whereas if it be allowed to escape, the soul's intention is dispersed, as it were, on outward things, so that inward sorrow is lessened. So your melancholy gets worse if you have no way to vent it, right? So a good cry, weeping, is a soul's way of releasing a sorrow that can be quite paralyzing. I know some of you guys are like, I don't cry, Drew. I don't cry. I think a good cry is good for everybody. Jesus wept, right? That's the shortest verse in Scripture. Jesus wept, period. Pope Francis, he said that certain truths in life can only be seen with eyes cleansed by tears. I thought it was very poetic. Certain truths in lives can only be seen with eyes cleansed by tears. He says, I invite each of you to ask yourself, have I learned how to cry? And it's important. I think it's healthy. And I found, I was young, I never cried, right? Now that I'm getting a little bit older, I'm finding myself much more emotional. And maybe it just comes with age. Maybe it comes with the softening of a heart. I don't know. Maybe it comes with a little less pride. I don't know. I was very moved by the football players, the Buffalo Bills, on their knees openly weeping, 20-some-year-old men, coaches, everybody, not afraid to show their emotion, but letting tears stream down their face. There's something very powerful, something very raw and very honest about it. So maybe a good cry. His third remedy, it makes sense too, is just sharing your sorrow with a friend. So when you're sad, we tend to see everything in what? Shades of gray, right? So he says one of the antidotes is to, you know, make a phone call to a friend or spend some time with a friend. Let that friend pierce that darkness, that grayness, bring some light into your life. And I think that's good. Get you out of the stupor, or the quagmire, the quicksand that you're in. The fourth remedy against sadness, he says, is contemplating truth. And here's what he says. He says, contemplating the fulgor veritatis. And St. Augustine speaks of the splendor of truth in nature, or let's say maybe a work of art or music. We can find beauty in it, right? And it can be an effective balm against sadness, Thomas Aquinas says. And the fifth and final one, and I'll just leave it at this, and I love this one. I don't know if you do this or not. The fifth remedy suggested by St. Thomas Aquinas, perhaps something you wouldn't expect from a medieval thinker. The theologian says that a wonderful remedy against sadness is bathing and sleeping. A good hot bath and a good night's sleep, right? It's a deeply Christian viewpoint, you know, and can certainly alleviate a spiritual malady. I love it. There's something about a hot bath, right? A good sauna, a good hot tub, good bath. Nothing better than getting a good night's sleep. So those were St. Thomas Aquinas' five remedies against sadness. Why not try one or two of them if you're down and out right now? Hey, when we come back, is today National Divorce Day? Is it January 14th? Is it the first Monday? I got to share something with you.